Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. Our hope is that God would speak to you during this time, and our mission is to connect you to Jesus daily.
So good, isn't it? I love that. The end is my favorite part. Happy Thanksgiving! They were doing that to every car that passed. I love that. Popping out of the box there. A little jack in the box. Just real quick, I want to celebrate that. Yesterday, we served at the Agape Family Life Center. It was a really cool event. There were about 150 boxes and turkeys and all those different things. We were able to help give all of those out. Our church alone brought 35 volunteers. How cool is that? Just to be a part of that. We love that. That's our heart. One of our core values is to be a generous church and to be out in the community. Another core value is to engage the community. And so for us to embody that, to live that out, I love that and want to continue to highlight that. Another quick thing, too. We're not in announcement time, but while we're on it, right? The Kappa, I love this. So we're doing the Kappa presents for the foster children during this Christmas season, buying them toys. And so we had 30 in our already almost over half of them are gone, and we just announced this last Sunday. So pretty incredible. If you have not got a chance to see that, go visit our Kappa tree over there. I'll give a little bit more details here at the end of the service about that as well. But really cool thing. Thank you for your hearts. Thank you for your generosity. I love that. Love what God is doing through you and into our community. Now, before we jump into the message, I want to give you a quick update and invite you into something for us as a church, okay? So the first thing is obviously, you know, we started at USCB, right? That's where we were. And then COVID happened. We went online. We didn't have a home. We were homeless for a little while. And then we were at Okatee Baptist for a little while on Saturday nights. And then New Life opened up their doors for us as well. What we want to invite you into as a church to begin to pray for us. What's next? We are starting to look. We're starting to ask questions, to be out engaged in the community. We're evaluating a lot of different things, finances and capacity and buildings and all these different things. And so me and the leadership team, we just wanted to present that to you as a church because this theme has been on my heart or in my spirit, so to speak, over the past really last 3-4 weeks. And it's this phrase: we are in this together. And I feel like I've said that over and over to our people. Hey, we're in this together. And just like we were serving yesterday and when people show up on Sundays, I believe that's what the theme for our church is right now, going, hey, we're in this thing together. And we're walking through life together. And so really that's what I wanted to invite you as a church in. Let's begin to pray. Begin to look for us as well. You see something. Obviously, we're at a certain stage for us as a church, so we can't go get a $4 million building, which would be awesome. God can do crazy things, right? But we'll continue to grow into that. But we want to invite you because we're in this thing together. And so as we begin to pray, begin to ask God to move, He is a big God, and so we're asking big, and we're believing that He wants to do some incredible things, because this will allow us and free us back up to do the things that we feel called to do. Get back to a different, maybe a little later service time. We were doing a lot of things after service as to help build community, which now we're kind of locked in and can't do some of those things. We have to get creative. And so just getting back to some of our heart of being together as a church and spending that time together and being in community, growing and loving and being a part of that. Okay, so just wanted to invite you into that. Be praying. If you have questions, feel free to talk with me as we work through that and what we're doing. We're going to keep you involved through this entire process because we're in this thing together, right? And so we're gonna invite you in. But as you begin to pray, I believe there's power in numbers when we do that and ask God to move in an incredible way. So very good. I want to pray for us and then just jump into the message today. If you're joining us for the first time, maybe online or in the room, we're in a series that we have calling More Than Enough. And we're talking about the journey to discover peace and contentment. And so we're in week 3 and we're looking through the book of Philippians. So we're kind of picking themes out in the book of Philippians. And today we're in Philippians chapter 3, and our base verses are going to be in verses 12 through 16. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be there. Be finding that. We'll be there here in just a few minutes. We're going to put the scripture for you on the screens as well, but Philippians chapter 3, more than enough. And so let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. God, I just pray that you speak through me today. God, I pray that you speak to our hearts. God, as a church, we're coming together. We believe that we're taking this journey together, that you've called us together, God. I pray the Holy Spirit continues to unite us. I pray that as we push forward, we're praying and believing, God, that you are a big God, that you are a provider, and we're just stepping into that, God. We're praying in hopeful expectation that we know that you've called us here for a reason and on purpose, and that you're going to make that path clear in your timing. And we're just resting in that fact, God. I pray that you speak during this message. I pray that your word just becomes a illumination and revelation in our hearts. And I pray that you just speak faith and hope and life into our lives, God, and help us just to use these principles and allow them to flow through our lives. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. I remember, some of you guys may not know, because I don't wear glasses very often, but I do wear glasses and contacts, and I discovered this in middle school. I didn't know as a young child that I was going to wear glasses or whatnot, but I was sitting in class, and I was looking up at the board. I was sitting in the back of the class. I don't know what it tells you about me, but I was sitting there, and I'm trying to see the board, and it's like all of a sudden one day I'm like, wait a second, I can't, what is she talking about? Like, what is happening there, right? And finally, the teacher, I think she realized, and she moved me up, and then I could see, and it was kind of cool. It's like she kept asking me the question, like, don't you see what I see? Like, do you see what I see, right? And another thing is may not realize if you have just really great vision, you know, and just, oh, yeah, and all those things. But if you're walking down the hallway and somebody's coming up to you, you don't know if they're looking at you or not. And so I remember walking in school, like people coming up and their faces being blurry, and they probably thought I was rude, right? Because I couldn't tell if they were looking at me, if they were smiling and all these things, but I didn't know. I didn't even know, realize like, oh, maybe I need glasses. And I remember going to get glasses for the very first time, getting my contacts and walking outside, and it was just like, it was like Aladdin. It's a whole new, right? Like, you know, all these things. I could just, the bright colors. And I was like, that tree is green. Do you see that? That is amazing, right? I didn't realize how bad my eyesight had gotten, that I couldn't see far away. Then I was in class. I was like, ah, look, I can see the board. I'm in the back of the room. This is amazing. And for some reason in middle school, I was not about to wear glasses. So I went through the laborious process to figure out contacts and all these different things. But anyway, it was that question kept coming up during that process because I couldn't see. And that question was, do you see what I see? And even when I went to the doctor, she was like, okay, one or two, right? Like, do you see what I see? And all, she wants to make sure that my vision was clear, that I could see. And when I think about the message today, I thought about that question. I believe that the Apostle Paul, especially in chapter 3, but I think all throughout Philippians, he's asking us the same question. He's saying, hey, do you see what I see? It's like he's that grandfather figure who sits on the couch right next to you, and he begins to have this conversation. He's going, hey, can I show you something? I just want to make sure you can see what I can see in your relationship with Christ. I just want you to see. And I picture him in prison, and as the guards rotate in and week out, hour by hour, he sits down with them and going, hey, I want you to see what I see. I want you to filter and see life the way that now I see life through Christ. And he begins to paint this picture. And I believe that's what he's doing here in Philippians chapter 3. Because sometimes, if we're honest, religion, Christianity, we can try to add all of these layers, right? We can try to make it so complex that where we're sitting down listening, or we hear something and we're just like, wait, I just don't know what to do. It's like all of the books, it's like all these pages, all these verses, it's all these terms. I don't know what it is or what step do I take, and it becomes so complex. It can hold us back, or it can allow us to lose focus. And one thing I know is when you and I gain focus, when you and I gain clarity, motivation follows. When you and I gain clarity and focus, I believe that God wants us to be able to focus on what is true and what is right. Because when we can focus in on those things, when we can see what God wants us to see, then peace comes right behind that, because we're seeing what he is calling us to see. And so as we get down to Philippians chapter 3, this is what Paul is saying. He begins to paint a picture of going, I want you to see this. I want you to see how I view life and call you into this lifestyle to view life through these few lenses here as well. So Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Everybody okay? All right, verse 12, it says, "Not that I have already attained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained." I love that verse. He kicks it off in true Apostle Paul fashion, right? He says, "Not that I have already attained this and am already perfect." Apostle Paul, he's kind of setting the stage, right? He's like, look, I grew up, and if you don't know Paul's background, he grew up in this Jewish system to where he was like one of the highest religious leaders almost that you can get. And he was so upset that he persecuted and went after and sought to put Christians in prison and in jail. And so if you were to go through and like check things off the list, you would think Apostle Paul was pretty high up there, that he would boast in who he was and all the accomplishments that he has done for religion and all those different things. But yet every time he gets saved, and then as he writes in the Bible, he constantly goes, hey, I'm not perfect. In fact, if you were to consider who was the worst Christian of all, it would be me. Because he's talking about his past. He's talking about where he's been. And he's saying, I'm not perfect. And what an incredible viewpoint for you and I to wake up and go, I'm not perfect. I'm not there yet. I'm not complete. And I would even say, have you ever talked to somebody who's been walking with Jesus for years and they are just so close to Jesus and you bring them your sin? What do they do? They come right next side of you, right? They come under you, right? They're not going to just leave the sin alone. They're going to address that, but they're going to say, hey, I'm not perfect either. Hey, we're going to make it better as we go along this, right? It's like, I know as closer I get to Jesus, the more I realize how broken I really am. The more I realize I'm in a sinful world because he is holy and he is perfect. And the only reason I can even be in his presence as a believer is because of the blood of Jesus, right? Because he is the one that set me free. He is the one that paid the price for that. And I think for you and I, what a beautiful mindset. I'm not there yet, right? To go out into our broken world and say, we're not perfect either. If you're trying to find a perfect church, you might as well keep on going down 278, right? Like, it's not here. Like, we're not there. We're not completed yet. But if we come with the mindset of going, ooh, look what I did today. I memorized Philippians chapter 2, right? Like, try to be like me. Let's go, right? Look, I've been to church 32 times this year. Woo, right? Like, come on. I go every service as possible, right? If we come with that boastful mindset, people are like, oh, wait, I don't know about that, right? But if we come and say, just like the mindset of the Apostle Paul, he's saying, I'm not obtained it yet. I'm not there. I'm not perfect. I'm still a work in progress. We're in this thing together, right? And then he continues on. He says, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus had made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, this is what I want to spend a few minutes on, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. The Apostle Paul comes and he's saying, hey, in my life, I have a past. We just talked about the Apostle Paul's past and how God has saved him from that, how God has done a work in him through his past. But I want to give you, if you're taking notes here, that you and I, as followers of Jesus, we have to allow God to forgive and heal our past. Forgive and heal our past. I believe as Christians, we're really good at receiving forgiveness sometimes, right? Like, we get that part. We believe that God has changed us, he has redeemed us, but there is a second part to our past that God wants to heal those things from our past as well. And that doesn't come easy, right? It's almost like we come kicking and screaming. Have you ever seen that skit called The Chisel, right? It's hard and God begins to chisel some things that we're carrying, right? It's like we come to Jesus and we're carrying all these baggages and all this luggage, right? And Jesus is like, oh, I'm going to have to do a work in that and in you because I want to heal what has happened to you in your past. I don't want you to have to carry all of that weight again. I want you to experience peace. And one of the ways that you experience peace is to allow God in to heal some of the things that are in our past. And sometimes we may not even realize that we're carrying some things from our past. Maybe some mindsets from our parents or grandparents or the culture we grew up in or whatever it may be. It could filter out in parenting. It could filter out in our marriage. It could filter out in how we interact with others. But there's things that you and I, when we come to know Christ, when we become believers in Christ, I'm saying, God, I'm giving you my whole self. I'm giving you my past, I'm giving you my present, and I'm giving you my future. And he is faithful to heal those things. I heard a message here recently, and I believe it's from Matt Chandler, and I believe it describes this work that God is doing in us as believers so beautifully. He says it this way: deep work over time in community. Deep work over time in community. I just love that. It is a deep work because the farther we get, right, it's like the layers of our past can be underneath so many surface level conversations, and God has to almost peel those layers back, right, like a doctor really getting to the root of the problem so that we can peel those layers back, and it's not as fun, it's not as comfortable, but God is saying, hey, I'm going to shine some light in those places because I want to heal you, because I'm quoting this from somebody, I don't know who quoted it. Maybe if you know, you can tag me in it later. But what doesn't get healed gets healed. What does not get healed gets passed down. And I believe that's not only in parenting, but I'm thinking about as a disciple maker, right? I'm discipling somebody else. I may be coming with some things in my past. And as I'm making disciples, I'm discipling people through that lens that maybe something that wasn't healed from my past. And when I say, Jesus, I give you my life, I'm following you, I'm giving you all of my life. And God, heal me in this. Speak to my heart in this. Is there anything in me, God? Create in me a clean heart, oh God, as the psalmist says. And we get this beautiful picture. And for you and I love this illustration because I don't know about your house, but we have particular roles, you know, chores, so to speak. One of mine has always been, I don't know why, is taking out the trash. Even when I was a little kid, like I had to take the trash out. Now as my boys get older, they're starting to take out the trash, right? Like it's part of their thing. And if you notice, sometimes I'll walk by and the thing's getting almost to the top, right? Like you just see it, you're like, I better take that out. I'm just not ready yet, or it's really cold outside, I don't have my shoes on, whatever it is, right? And so here's an age-old trick, right? You walk through, you see that thing, you pick the lid up, ours has a lid, and what do? There you go. You press that thing down, right? You just push that down. Oh, look, I got half the room left in there, right? And here we go. And just keep starting over. The problem is when everybody doesn't want to take out the trash, we just keep walking by and pressing that thing down, right? Pressing that thing down. And days have gone by and it starts smelling, right? There's food in there. There's some nasty stuff. Like we just keep pressing it, close the lid, right? Keep pressing it and close the lid. And eventually we have to take it out. And then when you try to take it out, what's it like? I mean, it's like you're like, oh, what is in this thing? What have you been throwing away? Because we've packed it down for so long, and our past can be the same way. We just lift the lid, and it's like, God, the Holy Spirit will bring that up in us, maybe during a church service or in small group or counseling session, whatever it is. I'm not addressing that, right? Let me just push that thing back down. Let me shove that thing back down and close the lid and walk away. Let's move on to something else, right? And if we just keep pressing it down, it's not going away. God is saying, I'm trying to raise this to the surface so I can take it out and I can heal it. Not only can I heal it, but I'll redeem it as well. I will use it as I love this term, I will weaponize it, right? I will turn it into a story. I will take your past and turn it into a testimony. That's not even a word. A testimony, right? Like I will allow God to take my story, and that's what it'll do. But at first, we got to bring it to him. We got to be willing and have the posture of going, God, you know me best. You know my past. And how amazing is it in the first place that we have a creator that loves us so much that he says, I want to heal that in you. I don't want you to carry that anymore. Don't carry that. I want you to experience true peace. Lay that at my feet. Allow me to work in that. Allow me to heal that in you. Not only heal that, redeem you, because that flows right into what the Apostle Paul is saying. He's saying, I'm forgetting what is back behind me. I can't forget it if I'm still carrying it, right? Like it's still with me every day. I can't forget it. And the only way to do that is allow God to heal it. And now I can move forward. And that's what the Apostle Paul says. One thing I do, forgetting what lies ahead and straining forward to what lies ahead. He said, that's not weighing me down anymore. Now I can move forward. Now I can move forward in a healthy state, in a healed state. I can make disciples. I can invest in those I work with. I can invest in my marriage, in my coworkers and parents. All these things, I'm investing in a healed state. Deep work, right? Over time. In community. It doesn't happen just right there overnight, but the Holy Spirit, He knows us and He knows how much we can handle and how to truly heal in that. And in community could look like a small group, it could look like a counselor, it could look like one-on-one sessions, it could look like discipleship, whatever that may look like, right? In community, not only community with God, but community with others as they can help call that out in us and encourage us and walk with us as well. And then the second thing that I want us to get here today is keep pressing forward with God's plan and purpose in your life, right? Like first we allow Him to heal it. We allow Him to change us and redeem us. And then we keep pressing forward. We just keep moving forward. One of my favorite verses, Galatians 6:9, and God encourages us and says, I want you to experience life to the full, right? In Galatians 6:9, He says, do not grow tired or weary in doing good, for at the proper time you'll reap a harvest if you do not give up. He's saying, keep pressing in, keep showing up, press into God's plan and purpose for your life. And a lot of time, our plan and even our purpose in life, what we'll realize, what God healed us from in our past, God may use that. And now it's a part of our plan. It's a part of God's purpose. And what you tried to get rid of and throw away, God's like, hey, I'm actually going to use that. Sometimes our greatest ministry comes out of our greatest pain. Sometimes because we've walked through it, because we know it. And then when somebody else walks through it, you're like, I know exactly how you're feeling. And I look, you probably thought this. You probably did all these things, right? Because we've walked through it. We've experienced that pain. We've experienced that heartache. And God has healed us from it. And so we can walk in it as well. And there's some work that God wants to do in us. And then some work that God wants to do through us as well. And I can only truly walk in that until I allow God to heal my past and allows me to walk into my current state and my current future. And so I just want to spend a little time there, and I want to spend the rest of my message, just the next 3 hours, just the next few moments on this last part of the message, because it's really stuck out to me. And I believe God kind of wired me competitive, okay? Like, He wired me into striving for what's next so much so. I'm like, okay, God, I got to surrender that to You because it's going to take over my mind. It's going to take over my heart, all these things, right? But the Apostle Paul says something here. He says, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies ahead and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You and I, as believers in Christ, we have an eternal prize ahead of us. As Christians, there is a promise, there is a reward, so to speak, there is a prize that you and I are striving forward for. And you may be asking, what is that prize? What does that look like for you and I? And as I read that, I thought, wow, what a way for you and I to define this, what this looks like. We want to know what the prize of heaven looks like. And the first one is, first and foremost, the prize, I'm going to just kind of create some clarity and some focus here. The prize of heaven is Jesus. The prize and the focal point of heaven is Jesus. And the Bible describes that there is clear gold. Don't ask me how that works, but there's clear gold in heaven so that our focus can still remain that it is Jesus. He is our hope. He is our comforter. He is our provider. He is our strength, right? He is the King of Kings. He is the Prince of Peace. He is holy. And if He is the source of all of that, and then in heaven, I literally, physically walk with Him through that time. What an incredible moment. What an incredible prize. I press forward to that hope That is the hope. That's one of the hopes, right? And then it kind of cascades from there. You and I receive heavenly bodies. God is saying there's no more tears, no more sorrows, no more aches. This perfect heavenly body, right, that we get experience in heaven. And then not only that, the environment of heaven we get to experience, right? The Bible describes that we still have this wholesome work that we get to experience. The Bible describes we get this experience, ultimate culture that God has set up, this perfect place that you and I dwell in. It's like he's redeeming us back to that. And then also from there, I feel like an info commercial, but wait, right? But we experience all of these things. And then we also see that as believers, God, there are these crowns that God has created, these things are rewards, so to speak, for how we live our life on earth. And God says that there is a judgment seat of Christ. Maybe you've heard it's called the Bema seat, where we come before God and he judges, or he looks at the conduct and the character of our life while we live here on earth. And then he looks at that, right? You and I, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we come boldly to the throne knowing, going, hey, that's not my name, but check my name in the Lamb's Book of Life because of Jesus' name, right? We don't come for position, right? But we come in this moment of going, look, I've strived. I've pressed forward towards the goal. And then he illuminates these five crowns that you and I can receive here in heaven. And Paul talks about this again in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. He says this: everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Amen. Like this beautiful picture that God is calling us to. And I'm going to read through some of these and give a short description. This isn't like an in-depth Bible study of it. And I'm going to give you the verses at which the Bible talks about it, but I'm not going to read it, okay? And maybe I can email these out later if you're interested in that. The first one is the victor's crown. The victor's crown. Some people call it the imperishable crown. Those are ones who have said, I have remained faithful. I have steadfast. I'm pursuing God. Even in hard times, I've created these disciplines in my life of daily going after the heart of God and understanding who he is and walking in the Holy Spirit's power day in and day out. The victor's crown. Also, it talks about the crown of rejoicing. I love this. And I'm sorry, that 1 Corinthians 9, it talks about that crown. And then the crown of rejoicing in 1 Thessalonians 2:19. This is the crown for those who live their lives and lead others to Christ. Those who bring other people to heaven's gates and to the feet of Jesus and lead them to Jesus, lead them to Christ. Those who give their life and experience that and live that out. There is a crown of rejoicing for those who live that way. Then the crown of righteousness. We see this in 2 Timothy 4:8. This is for those who long to be in the presence of Jesus. It talks about that crown of righteousness. I'm pursuing what is right. I'm pursuing what is holy. I want to experience that. I long to be in deep relationship with God. It's almost like when you talk to somebody who is completely in depth with that, they talk about heaven, they talk about Jesus like he's literally like right there, right? Like you just experience that with them. But it talks about the crown of righteousness. And then the fourth one is the crown of life. And that's James chapter 1, verse 12, and also in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. And this is the crown for those who maybe have gone through extreme persecution, for those who maybe have given their life literally to become a martyr for the name of Jesus. There are believers all around this world who are facing extreme persecution, who are being ostracized from their family, who are being killed for their faith. All of these things, they're getting fired from their jobs because they're taking on the name of Jesus. But the crown of life. And then also the fifth one is the crown of glory in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. And these are given to the shepherds, the pastors, the elders, the teachers, the disciplers, those who are in leadership in the church. Maybe you could even put in there people who become like that disciple maker, a spiritual overseer over other souls. And so that we see that the crown of glory. And how amazing is it? We have these crowns, right? We have have all of these prizes, so to speak, that God is placing before us. And he is saying that each and every believer, we have something we're striving for. As 1 Corinthians chapter 9 says that the world may be striving for earthly prizes, but as believers, our focus, right? Do you see what I see? The Apostle Paul is calling us. He is saying, hey, there's heavenly prizes now. There is a reward in heaven that you and I can focus in on and have extreme clarity on of going, this is what God has called us to. And it's not that our work goes out in vain, right? That nobody sees what we're doing, but our Heavenly Father sees our conduct. Our Heavenly Father sees our character. And when we get to heaven, we get to have that conversation with him. And when he places that crown on our heads in the book of Revelations, it tells us that our heart, our posture will be because Christ is so holy and we know who Jesus is. And it's only through his power that we're able to do those things that we turn around and lay that crown back at his feet. Because it's only through his power that he has done that work in us and through us. And that is the hope. That is the prize. Those are the things. And this is not an exhausted list. There are many other things that we can list and get into. But for you and I, just to realize that as we walk out of here today, I believe that focus can help lead us to peace. It's that clarity of going, I see what you see. And I, as followers of Christ, as disciple makers, we kind of like Paul, we get to sit up into the chair next to people and going, hey, let me show you what I see. Let me show you what we can strive for now. This, and the Bible also describes that our earthly things, they will waste away, right? But these prizes, they will never go away. They will always be up. And you and I can rest in the fact that we have this relationship with God, to walk and to dwell and to realize what God has called us to. But I think as we listen to this message and hear about these prizes that are before us, that we strive for, that we lean into, a couple of questions we have to ask ourselves are, what, when we run our race, what are we focused on? Check, check, one, two, very nice. Thanks, Matt, you're the man. So one of the things he says here is really great. It says, let those of us who are mature think this way. I love that clarity. He's saying as we grow in Christ, when we think about these things, when we grow into maturity, our focus begins to change where we want God to heal us from the things of our past. We want to be able to lay those things at the feet of Jesus. We want to lean into the plan and the purposes that God has for us. And we also have an eternal prize that we keep at the forefront of our minds, that as we mature in Christ, that's our thinking. That's our mindset as we live our lives, the filter, so to speak. And then he says this, let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. And so my prayer for you and I is, maybe you're hearing this for the first time or experiencing these things for the first time. My prayer is God will bring revelation of these things to you and in you in your life. Maybe God will illuminate some things in your past of going, oh, I still need to lay that. I'm still a work in progress of God working in me in that. God, illuminate and keep these in the forefront of a mind of the heavenly prize that is before me. And as we study scripture and dive into different kind of studies of the Bible, these things become more open and relevant to what God is doing in us and through us. And so what a beautiful promise that God will reveal that also to you. I love that piece of scripture for you and I. That's for each and every soul, each and every mind, that we can experience that in Christ. And so I just want to pray for us and ask God to speak to our hearts during this time. One is, I always like to close with this because salvation is so important. That's the beginning of revelation right there in that moment. And so if you've never given your life to Jesus before, my hope, my prayer is that you would surrender your life to Him today and saying, just like we sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. And in that moment, we surrender our lives to Christ. The Bible says that we receive the Holy Spirit. God begins to do a work in us and revealing things in us and changing things in us. And so that's why we come and bring that at the feet of God, bring that at the heart of Jesus. So I would love to pray with you right after service. If you're online, we have a link every single Sunday right there that you can click on. It'll walk you through that and allow you to connect with us as well. The other thing is as believers in Christ, maybe we begin to say that prayer and ask that to God, saying, God, what am I focusing on? Help me to see those heavenly prizes that are before me. Help me to live my life. God, is there anything in me you're still trying to work on? You're still trying to heal? That deep work, right? Over time, in community. God, what piece of that do I need to realize? Like, this takes time, right? Like, I need to give myself a break. If the Holy Spirit is not working faster than that, I need to be okay with that, right? That God is still working in that. Also in community. How can I get into that community? Is it seeing somebody that's going to walk me through counseling? Is it through small groups? Is it through one-on-one discipleship? How does that play into that in community? How do we walk through this thing together, right? Because we're in this together, right? I believe that God is doing a work in us and through us. But let's pray together and ask God to speak to our hearts. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you so much for your word. God, how amazing and exciting and life-giving is it knowing, God, that you not only want to take our past and forgive us, but you want to heal us from it so that we can run full speed towards our purpose that we were created for, God. I pray that each and every person in this room knows that they were created on purpose and for a purpose, God, and that you are a holy God and a loving God who wants to forgive us and heal us and empower us to live that out in our lives each and every day, God. I pray that you keep the heavenly prize, the prizes, God, that we see right in front of us each and every day. I pray that you just bring revelation to our hearts, God, that you would speak to us, that you would continue to do a work, a mighty work in us, God. Allow us to continue to work out our salvation and just continue to bring that at your feet, God. I pray that you just reveal to us whatever that next step is. Maybe it's giving our lives to Jesus, of making that decision of going, I want to follow Jesus. I want to invite God into my life to change and do a work in me. Or God, maybe it's for the first time, I want to walk in community and I'm going to want to experience this deep work that God is doing in me. We love you. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's stand and worship together.
Thank you for tuning in to the Bridge Church Podcast. If you would like to find out more information about our church, you can simply visit our website at thebridgebluffton.com. Have a blessed day.